So we're going to do a sugya today about bliya v'kelim, about hechsher kelim for Pesach, and specifically we're going to hone in on a question of Tosfos, which is about what am I doing wrong, Jeff? Press it three times and it still says stop. What?
Is it
better
over here?
So it's a new thing.
It's a memory fault.
Oh.
So if you want, I can.
Aim Vatlin Isur Lechatchila. Okay, so let's open up to Tosfos. First, we'll see the Gemara on Daf Lamed Omer Aleph, and we touched on this yesterday, but now we're going to touch on a whole different dimension of what we did yesterday. So about 10 lines down from the top, Amar Rav, Kideros bePesach Yishavru. So according to Rav, when we have a Kli Cheres that has chametz in it, absorbed in it, you have to break it. What that means is that there's no way of being Machshir a Kli Cheres. Why? Because the Gemara is going to say on Amid Beis that Kli Cheres and Yotsumi they dofio liola. See, you can't be machshir a kli cheres because of the very porous nature of earthenware of a kli cheres. So the Gemara asks the following question: Vamai, why does Rav insist that you have to break the kli cheres? Means there's absolutely no salvation. Lishinu liachra Pesach. Why not leave it open until after Pesach? You know, lock it up in a closet, and then after Pesach, liavid behu shelo b'minon. In other words, the Gemara is assuming now that we're going to apply to chametz the universal principle of bittul, meaning the laws of tarobas as they apply to, let's say, nevela, will apply them to chametz as well. Now, Rav Shita, as far as nevela, when I say nevela, I'm using that as a paradigm of macholos asuros. Rav Shita is that min b'mina lo batal. So let's say if I would cook nevela with basa shchuta, there would be no bittul. However, if I would take nevela and I cook it with potatoes, then it would be batul b'shishim. That's called min b'sheino mino. Correct. So now the Gemara thinks if we apply those principles here to chametz, then if you use this kedera that had chametz balua into it, if you use it after Pesach, then what you're going to do is you're going to have a combination of min b'sheino mino. And the Gemara assumes that chametz, like any other iso, like nevela, should be batul min b'sheino mino. And now the Gemara is going to present a revolutionary idea that min b'sheino mino in chametz is asur. There's no bittul, meaning that Rav completely excludes bittul, and that's called gzera dilma asur lemevibu b'mino, that he may come to use it for matzah or something that's the same min as chametz. So if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maschil, V'levid Behu Shalom B'mino, Deha Modi Rav Li'el, Dechametz Shalom B'zmano. So let's say we're talking about chametz after Pesach, which is only a Drabanon, so we don't have the Chumra of chametz B'zmano of Anisa Kares, is Shalom B'mino B'mashu Mut. Mashu means if you have Shishim, it's Batul B'shishim. V'hai Mashu Choshev Lehu. Now, what Rashi means by high mashu choshev lehu is the following: that if you fill up a pot to the top and you cook, the assumption is that there'll always be shishim against the blia in the walls of the pot. So, for example, if I have a pot that was used for nevela, let's say I put a massive amount of nevela in the pot. Then, if I only put, now I use the pot a second time for basa shchuta, but there was only a minimum amount of basa shchuta, then I don't know that the shishim in the basa shchuta can negate the blia of the nevela in the walls of the pot. But if I would fill up the pot up to the top, then I can fairly assume that there'll be shishim against the blia. Again, this is not our discussion for today, so just accept it or put it in the back burners. Here's Tosfos. Tosfos, Tema Lari. Just 1 second. Here it is. We're, you know, there are a bunch of Tosfos on this page, so let's see if we can find the right Tosfos. Dima Maskel Lishinu. Yeah? So Tosfos is going to focus on this kasha of the Gemara, the underlying premise of the Gemara's kasha of Levin Behu Shalom Bimino. Because again, what happens when you cook in this pot, Min Bishaino Mino, in the Hamamino, the Gemara didn't know that we have a Gzerot Umino, then it would be Batel in Shishim. Okay? So we're going to deliberately or actively take a pot which has a bli of Iser in it, and it's going to be batel as a result of the fact that we cook heter in the pot. Tema l'ri, nehidas v'ilei the time of the chometz b'kedera choshev mashu, she'ein regium l'shtamish harbe b'yachad, mikomakom hotnan, ein mevatlin Iser l'chatchila, v'afilu Iser d'rabonan ein mevatlin. He says the following. How can you take a pot that has a bli of Iser in it and cook in the pot? What you're doing is, you're taking the Iser balu in the pot and you're being mevatel it. And we have a principle called Ein Mevatlin Iser Lechatchila. So we're going to read through this entire Tosfos, but I want to put it on the side for a minute and take a look at the photocopy that you have. And he says on the third line, Ubitosis Tomhu alze, Dotnan Ein Mevatlin Iser Lechatchila. So at this point, he's going to quote not Tosfos, but the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. The Odye Shlomar, the Hodi Ein Mevatlin, Hainu Dafka bin Iskavein Lehenos bin Iser. Avalon Iskavein Lehenos bin Iser Mevatlin. Now, wait a second. What's going on here? Tosfos is now, in the name of Rabbeinu Peretz, he's severely limiting the application of Ein Mevatlin Iser Lechatchila. When does a person violate this Iser of Bitul Lechatchila? That's only when he wants to benefit from the Iser. In this case, he's not interested in benefiting from the Iser. He's interested in benefiting from the Heter, which he's cooking in the pot. He just doesn't want to be let's say disturbed or interfered with by the bli of Iser. So he sets it up in a way that the bli of Iser will have no impact on the food that he's cooking. He's not in, you know, normally let's say I'm holding on to a piece of the nevela, right? And now let's take a case, just for argument's sake again, of yovish b'yovish, right? Min b'mino yovish b'yovish. So now he takes a piece of nevela and he mixes it actively with 2 pieces of heter. What does he end up with? 3 pieces of meat. That's a good deal. That's called niskavi lehenos. So the Rabbanan didn't want to allow him to be mevatel and iser for the sake of expanding the iser. You know, basically he wants to eat the iser. So it's a nice way of eating iser. You know, I wake up in the middle of the night and I ask you a quiz question. How can you eat nevela? So the answer is, I take a piece of nevela and I mix it together with 2 pieces of heter. And if it's been bimino, and if it's yomish b'yomish, if not, you'll have shishim and so forth and so on. And great, you know, now I can eat nevela. Because it's bata. So that's what the Rabbanan prohibited. Nirakavanoso, the Hazorek Isel Yama Godol, Lo Choshev Kimavatel Isel Chatchila. You know, maybe you'll ask to say, let's say I take a piece of nevela and I throw it into the sea. So is that called being Mavatel? Because it'll be bottle in the sea? That's not called Mavatel Isel Chatchila. So why is that mutter? The Iker Bittel Iser Hu Imhu Bola Hatiro Lachilis Ono. Now, if he wants to take the nevela now, lo and behold, I can eat the nevela. But if he throws it out in the Yamagodl, no one's eating the nevela, that's okay. If eno matir letzorach shum adam, does shum achilas adam, lo chashikim vatal isa klal. He's being machala the Isa. There's no prohibition, the Chachom are not inhibited about taking Isa and destroying it, throwing it into the Yamagodl. So Tosfos says here, this is Rabbeinu Peretz, Harehu lo ba levatel es ha'iser. He's not coming to increase the volume of heter by adding a piece of iser into the pot. Kidei lahatir samashu chomitz achila. He's not coming to be matir something that's osur. And therefore, since it's ein adam miskavin lehenos min amashu isur. Now again, keep in mind when he says mashu, we're talking about a case of min b'sheino mina. Because min b'mino according to Rav is never going to be bottle. So there was never a havin in the Gemara that you can take this pot that has a blia of chametz in it and cook matzah in the pot. That's not going to help you because Rav holds min b'mino's afil be'elaflo bottle. But if I take the pot of chametz and I cook in it vegetables, like a big vegetable soup, so now I'd have shishim in the pot keneged the blia of chametz, and that's bottle. That's called mashu. Right? Mashu always means that the ratio is 1 to 61, let's say. So if he has that ratio, then what is he doing? Is he coming to have hanor from that mashu? From that little amount? See, I would have said it's a blia, and maybe a blia itself is not considered be'en, so there's no hanor mina mashu, mina be'en. He says it a little differently. He says that it's such a small, insignificant volume of isur, of chametz, that's not called miskavin lenos mina isur. The ikar bitul hachu kidesh lo yei oser es kol ha-tarubas. So he's only trying to put a barrier to protect the tarubas, meaning that the mixture of chametz into the heter shouldn't prohibit. So if I take a piece of chametz and I throw it into a tarubas, then that's called miskavin lenos mina isur. But if I'm just trying to protect this tarubas, that when the blia comes out and it's got chametz entering into this soup of mine, that means I'm just interested in protecting the soup. You know, thanks, but no thanks. I don't want your blias isur. That's not niskavin lenos mina isur. V'nimtza da blia atzma ein shuv odem akavin lehenos mimenu. But basically, it's like he's destroying the isur. By throwing it into shishim, it's like he's throwing it into the yama gadol. Is chosav v'ikar shem shel bitul isur, u'memelu lo shayach b'hu aklal d'yei mevatlin isur l'chatchila. See, I don't know exactly why he has to add this very fancy statement. He calls it Chosev Ikar Hashem Shel Bitul Isur. I'm not sure what, it's a little bit mugzam, that's a little bit exaggerated. I would have said Chosev Isur Shel Ein Mevatlin Isur Chatchila. I wouldn't say that there's no Shem Bitul here. He's being Mevatl, the Chometz, whether he likes it or not. No, it's whatever his intention is, he's being mevatel chametz. I don't know why he says it's not called a shame bitul iser. It is a bitul iser, but it's not a bitul iser for the sake of being mevatel the iser. He's doing the bitul iser not to enjoy the iser, but rather to protect that iser from contaminating or contagiously being madbik, you know, some sort
but
of iser.
But he's going to get something out of it, supposedly, whatever it adds to the content or to the
if you
value.
Want to say it enhances the taste.
That's going to be a problem.
That's going to be a problem. But let's assume it doesn't enhance the taste. You know, sach kol, I'm having a soup.
It's doing nothing.
If you were to give me a brand new kli, you know, to cook my soup in, I would have been just as happy, right? Okay. Now, at this point, and this is going to take us through, I would say, half of this essay, we're going to talk about the following. What happens in a case where a person went ahead and he was mevatel an isur l'chatchila, and he violated this isur of ein mevatel an isur l'chatchila? We have a concept called a knas. Now, the paradigm of knas is what we call a maisa Shabbos. So, if a person cooks on Shabbos for whatever reason, again, we're going to have to go into many minutiae of details with mezid and shogeg, and is he cooking for himself or for someone else? I'm not sure if we have to go that deep into the sugi, but just begadol, and we're going to try to compare this din of knas in Maisa Shabbos to the din of knas in Eim Evat L'Nisla Chatchila, we don't want you to benefit from the violation of the Isur. So, for example, if you cook something on Shabbos, then we're going to require that you wait. Anybody know? I'm just quizzing you. After Shabbos, what's that called? B'chdei Shiyasa, right? B'chdei Shiyasa, because that's the amount of time it would take you to cook after Shabbos. Okay. So now let's talk about Yoredeya Simon Tzadi Tes. And it says the following. Osu levatel. Okay. He went ahead and he was mevatel isur b'mezid. Okay? So we're avoiding all the cases of shogeg now. Osu levatel atzmo imhu shalo v'chein l'mishin is batel bishvilo. So the Mechaber has two permutations, I don't know what word I want to use, of this knas. One is...
Applications,
okay, great. Two applications in two different directions. In both cases, the mixture is going to be osur because he deliberately was mevatel the isur. Even though, again, the bittul is a bittul, but you can't enjoy the benefits of it. The first case is going to be for the mevatel atzmo imu shalo. So there are two conditions here. Number one is that Reuven was guilty of this action. He took Isur and he was mevatel. Number two, it belongs to him. So if you have those two conditions, then it's going to be Osur. And that's the knas because he's going to be benefiting from the violation of this Isur and mevatel and Isur Chatchil. Then we have another application. And that's the case where Reuven was mevateli, so he's the one who physically took the Iser and threw it into a tarovis of Heter, but he did it on behalf of Shimon. So you see where it's a little more complicated here, because one person did the action of Bittel, and the other person benefited from the Bittel. According to the Shulchan Aruch, in this case, the Adam Shenizbatel Isur Bishvilo is going to be Osir. Not the Mavatel, but the one for whom the Bittel was accomplished. Why? Because he's the one who's getting benefit from this Bittel. That's called Lemishan Isbatel Bishvilo, or modern Hebrew would say Ba'avuro, right? So Rav Salvechik says that this Knas means that you don't want to benefit from the Bittel. You know, you might say, okay, L'chatchila, I'm not allowed to do this, but the evidence, you know, nothing tragic. There was Bittel, and Bittel operates. I can benefit from the Bittel. No, we want to set up a knas in order to guarantee that you wouldn't violate this and actively create a Bittel. So therefore, we're going to say to you, if you went ahead and you did so, you're not going to benefit from it. Okay, you could always ask me a balabatish question here. If the guy is such a, you know, we're talking about amazing now, so he's amazing that he was mevatel. Now you can tell him, well, Don't benefit from that. What do you mean don't benefit from that? Like, you know, what kind of guy are you talking to? And the same question you could ask about Chomet Shavuot of a Pesach. There's a knas, right?
That's true.
Maybe the tshuva in between. But I'm saying the Chazal are creating a whole gzera over here. They're saying that this is meant to motivate people, or shall I say, to kill their motivation for doing this. So Chomet Shavuot of a Pesach means he doesn't get rid of his chomets. So what are we going to say to him? Oh, okay, so you violated by your motzi. Now you're not allowed to benefit from the chomets. I mean, who are you talking to? You're talking to a person who couldn't care less about by your motzi. Two lavim in the Torah. And you're telling him, well, you know, after Pesach, you can't feed this to your dog. You know, okay, maybe you're right, Sam, he did shuva, but I don't think that's...
No, but then it won't deter you. It won't deter a shegit not to do it, because maybe he'll do shuva when he uses it.
Right, so the deterrent fact, I think the element of deterrence is lacking. So I'm just pointing that out. Now the Mogen Avraham wants to apply this to Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, so what we're doing now is we're making a transition from the laws of Taroves to the laws of what we call Maisa Shabbos. And then we're going to have Rome wants to derive the following conclusion. It says in Arachayim in Hilchos Shabbos, this is the famous Simon Shin Yud Ches, you know, you can spend half your life on Shin Yud Ches, the laws of Bishul. So it says over there that Amavashal B'Shabbos, Osur B'Mezin. Okay, we're not talking about Shogeg now, as we said before, that's a little more complicated. But in the case of Mezin, Lo Liom Lacher Mutul Motzi Shabbos. So in other words, as far as the person who violated the Melechah Shabbos is concerned, there the knas is that we create a new Cheftza Disura. And that's called the Olam. He'll never be able to eat this Tavshil. Why? Because the knas was imposed that he should not benefit from the Iser. Now you might ask me, okay, why is he benefiting from the Iser? I mean, he could have cooked it just as well on Motzei Shabbos. He didn't have to cook it on Shabbos. So that's the full force of the knas, that we're going to go as far as to say that it's asur liolam. Now, what about lacherim? I mean, they were not in any way guilty of the maisa bishul. They don't deserve a knas. But the answer is, there's a new category called asur lehenos mimelecha Shabbos. You cannot benefit from a chilul Shabbos. So therefore, it'll be mutar l'motzi Shabbos. And during Shabbos, we're not going to benefit from this. But after Shabbos, they can benefit from it. And then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to talk about b'chdei she'yas. Asher gam din zehu min rabbanim mishum knas. The gam hocha misha kedera nisbashla bavuro choshiv kemo amavashal atzo. Here's the revolution of the Magen Avraham. Just like we saw in the case of the knas for Bittul Isur, when I say Bittul Isur, I mean Lechatchila, and we now impose that knas not only as a punishment for violating this Isur, but also as a stopgap measure that someone shouldn't benefit from this Isur. Correct? Someone shouldn't benefit from this Isur. And therefore, the Misha Bitlo Bishvilo, the whole Tarovus is going to be Asur. And by the way, you and I might think that's Dvar Mishal Mamakach. I mean, who cares about this Tarovus? Yeah, but you could be talking about thousands of dollars of worth of whiskey, and you're going to have to now throw it all out, you know, because there was an admixture of Yayin Nesach into it, right? He says, Hochenami, Misha Kederin Isbashla Bavuro. In other words, when we talk about acherim means those who were not involved in this bishul, and not only actively, but the bishul was not set up for their benefit, on their behalf. There was no shlichus, no agency over here. But if the bishul was done for someone, what would that be the status? He doesn't own the meat, let's say, that was cooked. He did not cook the meat. Says the Magen Avraham, it's still awesome for him as well. Why? Because it was done for him. And choshiv kemo amavashal atzmo vatavshil osulo liolam. So again, we're not talking about, well, don't get any benefit from a malach of Shabbos. We're talking about a knas. And the knas is inherent in the object that was cooked, in the food that was cooked, or in the case of bittul, in the tavshil that has the tarovus in it. And that's called osul liolam.
Does for him mean his agency or somebody that?
I don't know. That's an excellent question. If you want an answer to that question, we're going to have to take a look in your idea, I think, which I don't have in front of me now. So we'll see what he means. Lemishan is batel bishvilo. Bishvilo means he commissioned him, or bishvilo means it's his object and he'll get benefit for his food stuff and he'll get benefit. So the Magen Avraham is setting up an equation between the Mevashel and the Misha Misbashel Bishvilo, based on the equation between the Mevatel and Misha Misbatel Bishvilo. Now, the framework or the premise that underlies the Magen Avraham is an analogy between the laws of Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chatchila and the law of Ein Mevashlin B'Shabbos and the knas that results from the violation of those respective Isurim. Now, Rav Salvechik quotes his father, T'choluk Bishul B'Shabbos. He says that there's a fundamental difference. I think it's a kind of a gavra chefza distinction. Let's see if I'm right. In the case of Shabbos, the knas is basically a knas because of the melecha Shabbos. The melecha Shabbos. That's called, he calls it the maisa isur. Now, in the case of Shabbos, clearly, there's only one person, you know, there's one address to attribute the maisa isur to, and that's the mevashel. There's no one else. In the case of Bishul Ba'avuro, let's say Reuven cooks it on behalf of Shimon, Shimon has no relationship to the Isur at all. And Sam, I would even probably add, even if he commissioned him, I don't know, because a Maisa Shabbos is only the one who does the Malach of Shabbos. Lachain, Therefore, according to Rabbi Moshe, again, he's crossing swords here with the Magen Avraham. That's heavy. Right? Magen Avraham is like from the pillars of Psak. I think it's ready. You can check it out. I think it's 450 years ago. The Magen Avraham. Anyway, he says, "Lekach bevaday hu eino nichlal bichlal aknas de mevashal b'shabbes." It's very nice that Reuven was cooking it on behalf of Shimon, but the thrust of the knas is because of the ma'isaver the chil Shabbos. Well, only Reuven was guilty of the chil Shabbos, not Shimon, and therefore the din and the status of the mishan is bashal b'shvilo as far as this knas is concerned is identical to everyone else. The whole population, which means that you have to wait till Motzi Shabbos. Aval Iser de Mevatel Isel Chatchila, that's different. Why? There the Iser is not because of the action of Bittul, right, the Avera per se. Kol Chalosa Isi Machmas Misha Bitlo Avuro. Daha Im Loaya Bittul Avur Shum Adam Elazarko. Oh, machilo leklavim, that's when we talk about Klia, if he would be machala the Iser and completely destroy it, there would be no din of Ein Mevatlin Iser lechatchila. Basically, what Rav Moshe is trying to prove is that you can't talk about the Maisa Bittul. The Maisa Bittul per se is not Osir. There's no Averin Bittul, and I'll prove it to you, because if I take the Chefetz di Surah and I destroy it, either I throw it into the Yam, or I feed it to the dog and it's totally destroyed and consumed, in such a case there's no violation. So the whole violation is because of the benefit. Right? The Enkan Bittul Iser Kla, V'chol Chalos Bittul Iser Hu Bamesh Bittul Shah Bittul Nasa Al Menas La Tiro. In other words, the reason why you're not allowed to be mavatal Issa is because you want to be matir in Issa. Not that you want to destroy an Issa. So the actual act of being mavatal it is, mavatal means it loses its identity. It's lost to the world. And you could cause Issa to be lost in one of two ways. Either because it's physically lost or because it's batel in a taromis. That's also a way of losing the Issa, so to speak. But losing the Issa per se is not awesome. Harai, you could take the Iser and chuck it into the water. But rather, the Iser is because you're coming to be Mater Iser. In other words, it's a goal-oriented Iser. It's not the Maisa. Like, for example, let's say somebody be Mavashal on Shabbos, and he's not going to eat it. He's not going to benefit. Let's say Reuven would say, I'm going to be Mavashal this raw meat on Shabbos, and tomorrow I'm going to throw it into the Yamagodol. It wouldn't change one iota. The violation of the Iser is identical. I don't have to know whether he's using it for constructive purposes. He wants to feed somebody or benefit from it. But in the case of Ein Mevatel and Iser Lechatchila, I can show you two scenarios. One is a violation and one is not. And in both cases, he's destroying the Iser. He's getting rid of it. The answer is he getting rid of it because he wants to benefit from it or not? Nimtza d'mishan is batel b'shvilo, he's the Gorei Mesa Iser. Hagomer esa Iser. I would say Gorem esa Iser. Okay, but he says Gomer esa Iser. So I'm not gonna fight with the Hari Kedem. But what's he saying is that the Iser is because your bittul is gonna end up. It's gonna culminate with a hanor from the Iser. That's the nature of the Iser.
You can fine tune the example. You're allowed to cook the treif pot with water if you don't plan to drink the water.
So I don't know. I'm not sure how far you could go with this. I mean, you're asking a very...
No, because you're saying it's only because the guy is here and wants to eat it. What if I'm cooking it because I'm bored? Right? That's what...
Just one second.
Moshe is saying that it's the guy who's...
Right, I understand what you're saying, but I think, we're taking it a little bit too literally. Let me try to explain what I mean. Just give me a second to clear my brain. Saying that what? That I am. I'm just simply. See, I don't know if we have to limit it to the fact that he's going to eat the tarovas. You're saying he's bored. Could be if he's bored. If he's bored, I don't know. Maybe that,
see,
that's
maybe
also
that
unknown.
Maybe in your mind is that later he wants to use the pot. So that's also going to be battle the Isser. But let's say somebody says, I don't plan to use the pot, I'm going to throw the pot in the garbage. I'm going to throw the water in the garbage. That seems fine, no?
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's the same as throwing it into the Yam HaMelech. I don't know. You know, I was thinking about a cooking class. You know, let's say a guy takes
It can't be worth him throwing it in the Yam HaMelech.
He's taking a cooking class, right? So they give him a piece of the vela.
Getting something out of the
and
pudding.
They want him. So maybe that, you know, I don't know if it's achil. He's not going to eat it, but he, you know, he gets an A in the course. And then he gets, they call him a chef because he cooked the vela in Heter. You know, I don't know. Right now, you know, Sam is pointing out that it's a little bit ambiguous here. Is it just because of the Hanos Achila, it's going to culminate in Achila? Is that the distinction between Yam HaMelech and the case of Eim Avat L'Nisach Achila? Or maybe there's a general kind of Hanos that's all inclusive, but what happens if you make a statement, I'm throwing the Nevela into this Taroves, and after that I'm going to completely destroy it? Eino Chinami. Maybe that would be like Yam HaMelech.
Because the way he phrases it, you need the guy to make it, right? Without the guy, it's
not. Right. He says, Ayin Taz, the Mairi, Sha'oso Shebitlo Avuro Yoda Mizevenichale. Oh, this was your question, Sam, am I right?
I said commissioned, right? Commissioned or prophet. So he says, has to be commissioned or semi commissioned, right?
Yeah, let's see the language of the Taz once more. Is Yoda Venichale. So he's not going as far as to say that he was commissioned. But on the other hand, it can't just be that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Reuven sends a gift, a doron, you know, he sends him a doron in the mail, and it turns out to be a mixture of nevela and basa shkuta. And Shimon says to him, Shkoyach, thanks for what you did. That's not enough. He says, Yada. It's very close to shlichus, but it's not absolute, you know, explicit shlichus. He didn't commission him, as we said before. Now this Taz is going to support Rav Moshe's approach. Because you see that this, I call him the Nisbatel Bavuro guy, he is actively involved in getting this Hanoah. And it seems like he's, in a sense, actively involved from the get-go, because he was aware of the Maisa Bittel. So, you know, in terms of Melech HaShabbos, you know, this distinction, or this requirement or condition would make no sense. You know, what difference would it make in Melech HaShabbos whether he knew and he had intention? All that is irrelevant. You know, what's all relevant is that there was a violation of Shabbos. Mishum hochi aknas v'bitul isul chadchilu hu gam, it includes not only the mavatel, but also the mishun is batel ba'avuro. Before he said Bishvilo, now he says Bavuro, it's the same idea. Kevan de who? Oh, look at that. Hagorem Shala Isur. You know what? I honestly believe there was a mistake here when he said before Gomer. Okay, I don't know. We'll write a letter to the editor. It's not that important. Okay. Now we're gonna go back to Tosfos. So open up your Gemara again and take a look at Tosfos Divi Amaskil with Lishhinu. He says the following. Where is it? Oh, Umefarish Harav Rabbi Yosef. I think if you count down four lines, let's see, one, two, three, four lines down. This, I think, is Rabbi Yosef Tuvelin. I'm not sure. Anyway, he was a great Python. So he says the following. Hoil v'ika tarti litivusa. He's coining a new phrase. The Gemara in Ksubis has a phrase called Tarti L'Reusa. He's flipping it around. Tarti L'Tivusa. In other words, there are two reasons here to be Mekil when you use the Kli for Heter. Number one, it's no Saint Tam Lefgam. Right? Because he's telling you to wait till after Pesach. So by definition, it's an Eino Ben Yom. Number two, it's also a Mashu because it's Batel B'Shisha. Now, one thing I can tell you from my extension in the Rav Shia, is that he always worked with the following principle. 0 + 0 = 0. I remember we were learning Bava Kama, and in Hilchus Kinyonik Zela, there's something called Shinu, there's something called, what's it called? Yeush and Shinu Rishus. So Rav Salvechi said, wait a minute, if Yeush is 0, and Shini Rishus is 0, 0 + 0 = 0. I think he actually used that phrase, if I remember. This was many, many years ago. And here also, you know, you be make a lot of mashu. Who says he can be make a lot of mashu? The whole premise of the Gemara is that even though it's a mashu and there's shishim in the head there, you're not allowed to do that. That's called being mevatel isma. Ah, you can tell me it's no sintam lefgam. So every time I have a kli that was used for nevela or whatever trefus, whatever it was, I just wait 24 hours and find it. You know, I can completely circumvent the whole institution of Heksher Kalim. But what do I need our goal for? I get a better eight, so just wait 24 hours. So one sheet, this Linus Lila is already poselis. It's already considered nosin tam lufkam. So you have two factors or forces here, none of which can operate independent. So all of a sudden you combine it together and boom, you know, we can celebrate the 4th of July. You know,
is the outrageous to pass it that Hagola is just if you want to use it within 24 hours? Is that like... You're saying, what do you need Hagola for? You need it if you want to use it right away. Right?
So that becomes really complicated, Hagola right away. Mm-hmm. Because then you have to absolutely guarantee yourself that you have shishim, and I don't know exactly how you pull that off, honestly. But yeah, I mean, you and I know that there's no way that we can allow you to use a kli shein ben yomo. And the question is, why not? It's a nosin tam lufkam. Did I say Eino Ben Yomo? I meant to say Eino Ben Yomo. So you have an Eino Ben Yomo. Did anybody entertain, you know, if somebody would have raised their hand in the Rav Shi and say, well, Rebbe, I have no problem, I'm going to be machshir my kelim tomorrow. Yeah, the Rav would throw him on his head. Okay, I'll be nice about it. There's no such thing. So again, I'm just trying to illustrate to you that mashu and nosing tam lufgam in the case of chometz is not going to help you, A or B, alone. So, now Rav Yosef... So again, you know, Rav Yosef himself might not have been bothered by this question. He may have held that it's half plus another half. Not that it's zero plus zero. Rav Soloveitchik, because he was a very conceptual, you know, theoretical thesis, you know, to his thesis, it didn't make any sense. I don't know if... You know, I'm not sure that Rav Yosef learned in Brisk, you know what I'm saying? But if you're a Brisker, it's hard. I remember when I did research in Hilchos Yichud, I wrote an article once on Yichud. It's unbelievable. The poskim say 0 plus 0 equals 0 straight across the board. 90% of the laws of Yichud are 0 plus 0 equals 1. So they'll say, well, the door's not locked, and somebody could come in. And you have Bimitzari for another Shita that says, well, she's not an Erevah, you know what I'm saying? And that's how the whole mechanics works. I'm talking about hundreds of years of halakhic literature. Okay? And it's all based on 0 plus 0 equals 1. In the language of the poskim, it's called a sniff leheter. Do you ever hear that word, a sniff? Sniff means like it's a branch. You know, I have this branch, you put two twigs together and all of a sudden you get something. And I had a lot of trouble when I did this research in Yichud. I published two articles in two different journals, and it was so antithetical to Rav Soloveitchik, because if you're telling me that the door is closed, that's enough for Yichud, according to one Shita, and you're telling me that even if she's a Nida, that's enough for an Erevah and he's a Yichud. So you can't combine two coolers and somehow churn out a Heter. You know, so the whole development of Halacha is a little bit of a problem. Anyway, he says the following: first, Rav Yosef, Hoviika Tarati Lativus, should no sing Tamlif Gabu, Mashu Shalom Bemino, Bechai Gabnu Mevatlim. We can be Mevatl in Isur. So let's take a look here in the Tzarech Bir Biyasod Tirutso Shaltosis, Maimal Yusa Ika Bahai Tarati Lativusa. So we're up to a paragraph that says, Vanira. Vanira lomar dehine ikara iser benosing tam lifgam. Oh, so now the Rav wants to declare what is nosing tam lifgam. And this is also a typical classic chakira for derech halima. Oh, he's saying that it is a nosing tam, but there's a pgam. Or he's saying it's not a nosing tam at all. So he says the following: Avodazor daf ayin vav hamin aleph gzera. Kidera she'ena bas yom mishum kidera bas yoma. Right, this is what Sam was talking about before. What if I want to do Hagola today, like immediately, you know, a half hour after I cook nevela in this pot? that becomes extremely complicated. So what we're going to say is that we're going to tell you to wait another day and do the Hagolah, you know, tomorrow. Then you're going to come to mistakenly think that I could do Hagolah on a Bas Yoma, which maybe technically I could, but it's quite an undertaking. So Yeshlis topic together.
Why is it so challenging? I'm not sure why it's undertaking.
I'll tell you why, because the assumption is in Halacha, again you have to know the mechanics of Blias Isur, but the way it works is that we assume that the Kedera absorbed the maximum amount of Blia. If it absorbed the maximum amount of Blia, in order to get Shishim in a Kedera that's completely saturated with Blias Isur, you would have to literally fill it up to the top. And even so, I'm not sure. Again, you have to know the ratios and the mechanics, and maybe a difference between a flat pot or you know, if it's vertical.
Yes, about Cheres because they have a lot of
pores and so forth.
I'm saying a metal pot.
Again, let's imagine a pot where the walls of the pot are very tall, and the bottom of the pot is very narrow. So you can have an awful lot of blia. You know, to get shishim in the pot, yeah. Whatever the physics is, you'll have to learn your idea for that. But he says, this is what I wanted to get to. Yeshlis topic begeder gzerizu ha'im avi iser chadash the afal gav to be ikra din, since it's a nosing tam lifgav. Therefore, it's the Torah never asked it a tam pogum. But bo chachamim vahosifu, they broke new ground. They created a brand new category called no Saint Tam Lifgam Osur. This for, you know, I just yesterday I taught a shiur here in this very same room about Dmai, and there's a basic machlokus in Dmai, and the nafkamina is whether or not you could use it for matzah. What is Dmai? Are the Chachamim saying that we're not going to rely on this seller? We're going to assume he was not Mafrish Maaser. That makes it into Tevel Doraisa. So the Rabbanan are considering it Tevel Doraisa. Well, no. Dmai is a separate category. We know and we admit that we rely on Rov HaMe'ar, it's Maaser of him, and it's not Tevel. But there's a new Easter called Dmai. And the Gemara speaks about whether Dmai is mutter for some people and also to other people. I mean, if it's the Isur Tevel, if the Rabbanon is saying we're not going to rely on Rov, and if it's Tevel Doraisa, Mid Rabbanon, funny language, right? Then what difference does it make whether he's a rich person or he's a poor person, whether he's a soldier, you know, out in the fields, or he's someone else? And the Rishonim want to bring a proof from the fact that Dmai is mutter to an Ani, to a poor person. It means that Dmai is not an Isur Tevel. It's a separate category, with the Rabbanan gave it its own dinim. Or, for example, you remember that we discussed Chometz in the fifth hour and Chometz in the sixth hour in Erev Pesach. That Chometz in the fifth hour is a new entity. It's not really Chometz. Harai, it's Mutu Banah. Whereas Chometz in the sixth hour, but Rabbanan is also Banah. And we had an Afkamino with Kiddush Isha, if he was Mekadosh and Isha, in the fifth hour and the sixth hour. Reb Chaim has a clear about Orlas Chutz Laretz, whether Orlas Chutz is really Orla, or it's a whole new Iser. Because, for example, in the case of Orlas Chutz Laretz, in a Sufik it's Mutter, even though it's a Doraisa, Sufik Doraisa L'chumra, but yet here in Orlas Chutz Laretz we say Sufik L'kula. And the Rambam says that if you eat Orlas Chutz Laretz, you don't get Malkus, even though it's a Doraisa. Okay, fine. I mean, again, I'm not going through Kol Tarkula here, but this kind of you know, Chakira, especially in the Rabbanans, is classic. You know, what did the Rabbanan do? Trumas Yirakos. Are they telling me it's Truma? Or it's a separate entity called Trumas Yirakos. The Torah never recognized Trumas Yirakos. The Rabbanan created a new entity. Chul Shanish Tuba Zara. What is it? It's the Rabbanan. But what is it? Did the Rabbanan say it's like Chul Shanish Tuba Zara is like Nisa Doraisa? Or no? So Rav Shechter, Rav Herschel Shechter, has a whole article, this size thick, on Ksamim. You know, Midoraisa, she's only in Nida if she has what's called Hargosha. But Midorabana, there's something called a Kesem. So she finds blood on the thing, on the stain on a piece of cloth. So what is that? Is that the Chachamim, created a new kind of nida, or it's the old nida just dropped the precondition of hargosha. The Rabbanan overlooked the condition, and this is really nida, even though she didn't feel it coming out. Or no, it's a whole new entity called kesem, whole new iser and a whole new tuma. So Rav Soloveitchik is wondering, what do we do with nosein tam lefgam? The Torah says nosein tam lefgam is mut, and the Rabbanim say it's awesome. What are they saying? Are they saying that we look at this tam as it was a tam l'shvach? And it's the original iser. Well, no, the Rabbanim are creating a brand new category called what? Called nosein tam lefgam. Achen yesh lomer, here's the second side in his chakira, to chazal mishum gzeira she'eno ben yomo, otu ben yomo, osru kol she'eno ben yomo, ki ilu hu ben yomo. Because what are you going to do? You're going to tell him today it's an eino ben yomo, then tomorrow he's going to say even in a ben yomo. So let's treat the eino ben yomo as a ben yomo. The beginning of your day, you have this, not the very beginning, but you have this chakir about basar of b'cholov. What is it? Is it basar b'cholov or it's a new entity? That's the famous brisker rov about afein hoy boso anes. You know, the sheet of the bag is that a woman can't be motzi a man in Kriyas HaMegillah. She has a different chiyuv than he does. So the question is, you know, Megillah reading is a classic mitzvah seishes man grom. So what did the Rabbanan do when they said afein hoy boso anes? Are they saying that forget about mitzvah seishes man grom, or they're giving her a new chiyuv b'toras afein hoy boso anes? Yeah, I'm not going into the details of this chakir, but it's the same idea. He says, "Asru kol she'eno ben yomo ki ilu hu ben yomo, v'naslu lo din shel nosein tam l'shvach." And Tosfos in Avodah Zarah writes that "Dover amavushal bekli she'eno ben yomo muter." Why? Ki ala machal lo chala milchatchila hagzera l'fish lo hoyabo iser me'olam. In other words, with regard to the Kedera itself, there was a Ben Yomo in the Kedera. There was a Blias Ben Yomo. But in the case of the food that you cook in this Kli that's Ena Ben Yomo, there we're not going to ask for the food. Why? Because this food never had a Ben Yomo in it.
So what is Aser? Not the food, but what?
Where are you?
Ikra Gzera is Al Kedera.
Oh, I didn't read that yet. So give me one minute. I'm behind you. I'm up to the words for Ikra Gzera. Can you give me one more minute?
I'm sorry, yes.
Give me one more minute. I'm sorry. You know, I'm a little slow. He says the Ikra Gzera he Al Kedera. Why? Because the Kedera once had a Bli of Ben Yomo. Ulefi Zendim Tzadavi Iser Miyuchad Shel Bishel B'Kedera. He's saying the following. If you're going to tell me that the Rabbanan look at the Bliya and define it as a Ben Yomo, right, like the case of Dmai, where the Rabbanan said, according to that pshat, that it's Tevel Doraisa Min Rabbanan, so then what difference does it make as far as the Tavshil is concerned? What's the difference between the Kedera itself and the Tavshil? The Tavshil itself should be also. Hello?
What does it mean?
Oh, wait, knock, knock, anybody
what
home?
What does it mean, Kedera is Aser?
What I'm saying is the following.
The first
thing, Tavshil should be Aser. We don't understand this Tosfos. Let's play a pedagogic game. Let's play a game of pedagogy. You'll be Tosfos, and I'm going to slug you up. But again, my slug up is based on a premise, and therefore we're going to have to prove that Tosfos rejected the premise, like the process of elimination. Okay, let's play this game. You're going to tell me that if you cook in an Eino Ben Yomo, you're allowed to eat the Tavshil. That's Shitas Tosfos in Avodah Zarah. Okay, we don't pass it like that, but that's the Shitas Tosfos. And Tosfos gives a whole lumnus, which we'll get into, in order to justify that conclusion. But I'm going to ask you to find Kasha. I don't get it. You're telling me that Min Rabbanan, an Eino Ben Yomo, which is a Tam Lefgam, is a Ben Yomo. It's a Tam Lefgam. That's what the Rabbanan is saying. If that be the case, if it's a tam l'shvach, how can you be mocked to the tavshil? The tavshil has a tam l'shvach with nevela in it. Is muchach be this? You see that no, the Tosfos is not saying that we look at the eino ben yomo and define it as a ben yomo. We the rabbanon consider it as tam l'shvach, like in the case of Dmai, the rabbanon considered it as tevel. No, we're not saying that. What we're saying is there's a brand new Isur which is based on the Gzera. Oh, if it's based on the Gzera only applies when there was an Isur, and it doesn't apply when there was never an Isur before. Like in the case of the Tapsha, which never had the time of Isur.
The Isur and the Gdera is what? That you can't wear the Gdera?
You can't cook it.
That you're not allowed to cook. Not right. That the food is Isur, just Isur to cook.
Right.
Got it. Okay, I'm sorry.
But the food itself is Mutl. Let's read the Tosis
like
again.
An act that you can't do, not that it's treif.
Right. He says, Dover Hamavushal, underline these words, I'm going to do it for my sefer. Dover Hamavushal, you see those lines? Bekli, this is Tosin of Odezara. Mutter, what did he do? He cooked on Sunday, Nevela. Now on Monday, he cooks in the pot, which he was a bad boy doing. He cooks Heter, Basa Shkuta. You're allowed to eat the Basa Shkuta.
But you weren't allowed to cook it.
You weren't allowed to cook it. But you went ahead and you cooked in it, the Tavshil's Mutter. Right? Dover Amavushal, Bikli, Shade of Yomo, Mutter. Why? Because look at the Tavshil. What did you put into that Kli? You put Basa Shkuta. Did the Basa Shkuta ever have any contact with Isur, with a Tav of Isur? No. So Rav Salvechik says, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. The Rabbanan said that you can't cook in a pot that's an Eidim Ben Yomo. What does that mean? It means that the Tam is considered a Tam L'Shvach. Oh, if it's the old Isur of Tam Nevela, then it would be absolutely inconsistent to go ahead and be mat to the Tavshil. The Tavshil is now saturated with the Tam of Nevela. So you see, Muchach Mikan, this is like a brisker chazinan, that the Isur is a new din Isur. And what is that Isur? Oh, here also I want you to underline if you can. He says, Davi Isur miyuchad shall bishul b'kedera. Can you underline those words? Because I think that, Sam, is what you're looking for.
I see.
Yeah. Now, he compares it to Giule Akum. I'm not sure what he means. Just let me think about that for a second. Ki'ule akum. What does he mean? I'm sorry, I'm blanking out here because I haven't been learning your day recently. Ki'ule akum. What does he mean by ki'ule akum?
If a guy did the agol for you.
No, I think he's referring to the parsha of what's called of Clay Midjan.
When you capture things, right?
Yeah, that's called Gili Akum. You're not allowed to use those Kalim. No.
You're allowed to capture them.
Right. So I'm not sure what he means by Gili Akum at this point. Okay, let's see. Maybe he'll explain it in the next line. Mashikosu better kabais, that's the ra'ah. The bigu'ule akum osur lirabonon, the osur lirabonon gambeshe eno bas yomo, after no saint tam, livgam the havi milo mekalim. Okay, Rabbi, so I have to skip these three lines. Maybe if we had access to the better kabais, it would help us. But I don't think, honestly, I don't think that's absolutely critical. He's just making an analogy to something else. Yeah. Oh. Now, let's take the Tosis in Avodah Zarah and now compare it to Rabbi Yosef in our Tosis. Do you see which direction he's taking us here? You see where he's taking us? He's trying to prove that an Eino Ben Yomo is one darga lower than a Ben Yomo. It's not a zero, if you follow what I mean.
Just go to Akim if you want to. The Akim is
Yeah, I don't know, something missing. I hear what you're saying, but
I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, is that the Talmudit? Excite Peter Talmudit? No. Okay, whatever it is.
I don't know who did it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay, so let's see. I just want to create a kivun here, I think, where the Rav is trying to take us. Where, you know, he's leading us by the hand. And I think what he's trying to say is that perhaps if we go down, you know the phrase Nechos Darga, if we go down to Madrega, then maybe we can begin to understand how Rabbeinu Yosef is going to combine A plus B. Hagzera bi'ena ben yomo hu le'osro ki'ilu hu ben yomo mamish. Right? If you're going to go that direction, you're in trouble. But he says, Ulam kolze ben yomo hayitzarech lios osur vi'en lo bitul barov kevet she'yesh bo tam, no same tam, but zeh gozru bi'eno ben yomo otu ben yomo achim bi'isur mashahu tegam im hu ben yomo hareyu batul barov li'achar ha'pesach im kem b'chai gavne di'eno ben yomo lo gozru klal. Let me just read one more paragraph. Ulam Shara Rishon Svilu did no Saint Tam Lakama Isa Chadosh, like the Tosus in Avodah Zarah. For who can iser mashahu the osa belonging sinas tam is hachinami osa benosin tam livgam. You're just adding 0 plus 0. After ebo tam lishvach and kain hocha liachar pes liyesh bittol lenosin tam livgam the iser mashu mikom kama vikain bittol isul chatchila is therefore they had to give other answers to this question in Tosfos. So Rabbi said the key of keys here is this paragraph achen. And this achen is an explanation of Rabbeinu Yosef. And he says the following: let's assume that the gzera was otu ben yomon. Do you follow what I'm saying? Meaning when we look at an eno ben yomon, we're going to look at it as if it was a ben yomo because of the problem of his mixing up two different pots, so to speak. But that only makes sense if the ben yomo itself would have been osur. But in the case of chametz, that's not true because we're talking about chametz of a mashu, and a chametz of a mashu would not be osur, even if it would have been a ben yomo. So when you're looking at the ena ben yomo and you're saying, well, let's consider it as if it were a ben yomo, well, that makes sense only if the ben yomo itself would have been osur. So I take a nevela, I cook it in a pot, and tomorrow I said, well, but you know, I have to admit that if this would have been a ben yomo, if this would have been today, yesterday, not today, it would have been osur. But in the case of chametz, we're talking about a mashu of chametz, and we talk, right, because that's what it means. Lashinu, what's the language of the Gemara? Lashinu. Can you help me out over here? I'm sorry. L'shinu achar pesach v'le'eved bu shalom b'mino means shalom b'mino where there is bittul, meaning there is shishin. So you're left with a mashu. Is b'mela b'toras mashu, even if it had been a no Saint tam l'shvach, if it would have been a ben yomo, it still wouldn't have been osur. So again, if you're dealing with the definition of an eno ben yomo being osur min rabbanon as a ben yomo, that's where Rav Yosef stands up and he says, well, I object in this case because we're talking about a mashu. So there's no way that you can say, well, let's treat it as a ben yomo. What do you mean treat it as a ben yomo? So what do you gain by treating it as a ben yomo? It's a mashu anyway. It would be bata. He says the following: ulam kol zem ben yomo hayitzarach lios osur v'ein lo bitul barov. I'm not sure exactly why he mentions Rove here. Maybe we'll get back to that later. He says, Kevin Sheshbo, no same Tom. Right? It has a Nesinas Tom. This may be a profound statement in Hilchos Yerideya that you could have something which although it's bottom of Rove, it still has a Tom to it. Like Min B'Sheino Mino. But Zeh, Gozu B'Sheino Ben Yomo, Otu Ben Yomo, we could consider as if it were a ben yomo. Why? Because had it been a ben yomo, it would have been osur, because it gives time. You only have a rove. Achen, but however, in contrast here, in our discussion, we're talking about chometz b'mashu. Right? He's cooking in this pot, eno mino. He's cooking vegetables in the pot. And he has shishim, keneged the bliya of the chometz. So all he's left with is a mashu. Well, a mashu would be mutter even if it would have been a ben yomo, and it's batul merov liachar pesach. So therefore, you're not going to be able to say, well, we're going to give the status of the eid ben yomo as if it were a ben yomo, because even had it been a ben yomo, it would have been mutter. If you have something that's a no saint tam, ella what, it's a no saint tam lifgam, then you could say, well, let's treat it as if it was a no saint tam lishvach. Why? Because had it been a no saint tam lishvach, it would be awesome. But in a case where even if I would have considered it, even had it been a no saint tam lishvach, it still would have been mutter because it's only a mashu and the tam is batel. So you have the, you're yelling and screaming about tam lishvach. There is no tam. How can you talk about tam lishvach if there's no tam? And that's what bittul b'shishin means. However, if let's say we go to the other approach, that there's a separate din of gzera, and he calls it an iser chadash, who ke'ein iser mashu, just like mashu, even though there's no tam, the rabbanan asid it in chametz, so they created a brand new iser. It's not the iser of chametz because there's no nesinas tam. So too in the case of no sein tam lifgam, that's not a tam that could generate an iser, but the rabbanan made a separate iser. And if it's a separate Iser, even though it's not a Tam L'Shvach, then what difference it make whether you have one reason to call it, you know, Mutar Mikra Din, or two reasons to call it Mutar Mikra Din. Hachal Yachar Pesach, the Yesh Bittul in Osein Tam, no Osein Tam L'Shvach be Iser Mashu. So therefore it's Bittul Iser L'Chatfi. Okay. Now, Rabosai, what pages do you have in front of you? Just this essay? Okay. So I'm at a crossroads here because I would like to at least begin the next essay, which is here, the Gemara here on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, but I'm afraid that maybe you don't have a copy of it. I mean, John, you have a copy of it.
Make a quick picture if you want me to.
So maybe I'll make a deal with John if he's a big Baal Chesed. I'm going to borrow his sefer while you're photocopying it. Is that all right?
Or vice versa.
Or if John doesn't mind, no, take mine, because mine is, you can fold it in 3/4 and you won't break the binding, you know.
Okay.
But John, he has a brand new copy of the Sefer.
I haven't opened it.
You didn't Bachay Nomer Freyad of it?
Yeah. I just want to get started on that sugi. It's a very profound sugi.
I'll do all the pages then, right?
It's 4. Well, I'll tell you, I'm on a plane tonight, so I'm not sure if we'll be able to finish this until May 12th.
Page
so I don't
one.
Know. So page one should be certainly
page
be enough.
Okay.
So this is a sugya of Abai Verova. And the issue is the following, that if I lend you money, then I, as the Malva, have a shibud on your nechasim. When I collect that shibud, if you default on the loan, and I, let's say I collect a piece of karka, in our case it's going to be, he's going to collect some chavetz, but is that karka considered mine meaning the malva, from the time of the halva? In other words, the shibud itself is already a kinyan, and it only matures at the time of the gevir. So that's the shita of Abaye. Okay, thank you so much. Okay. And then we have the shita of Rava. Rava says, okay, he had shibudim, but it wasn't his. For example, let's say the malve would go ahead and sell a piece of karka that belongs to the lova. Would that mechira be valid? Well, if you hold balchov l'mafreyahu gov, it means that the karka belonged to the malva from the time of the matan bos, from the time of the alva. Therefore, the sale of the karka is a valid sale. If you're like Rava, that mikano lahavahu gov, that means the malva may have had shibudim rights, and those shibudim rights continue, but he doesn't have rights to, you know, he's not an owner of the karka such that he could sell it. And then you can have the case of a mashkon. Mashkan is a little bit different because in the case of a mashkan, the malva, the lova singles out a piece of karka for gvir purposes, and there it could be that we have a principle called bal chov kone mashkan. That's the principle of Rabbi Yitzchak. So what we want to look at is Rashi. So again, if I had a little more time, I would read the Rashi inside. Let's just, find a sort of a shortcut, and we'll read the Rashi here. Hamal vechavero v'shibed lo nechasov. So the word v'shibed is referring to the love, and lo, the word lo, is referring to the malve. So the love was meshabed is nechasov to the malve. Shem lo efra lecha ad yom ploni. If I don't pay you back the loan by such a date, is gabem nechas, I collect from my nechas. So it turns out that Rashi is learning this sugya in a case of what's called the shibud mefurash. There are two types of shibudin. The one shibud is automatic. Let's say, for example, the lova gives a shtar chov to the malva, and by virtue of the shtar chov, the malva has a shibud in the nechsei halova. Then there's something called a shibud mefurash, where the lova makes a declaration, and he says, "My mechasim am mishubadim lecha." Rashi goes out of his way, and we don't know why, to say that this sugya of Abaye is addressing a case of a shibud mefurash, not a stam halva where he didn't say anything. Now, even though we know that there are shibudim in a stam halva, again, let's talk about the milvah v'shtar. Otherwise, we have to go through the whole sugya at the end of Avasa about shibudim d'oraisa. So we'll talk about shibudim d'shtar.
That's why El Chemtzin is mefurash, right?
Oh, you're already up to Al-Khemtso?
No, forget it.
Okay, so we'll get to Al-Khemtso in a minute. I was just trying to point out that Rashi holds the Mafreu Gove of Abaye is predicated on what's called the Shibud Mefurash. And that's a Pella, because what difference does it make whether he announced the Shibud or he didn't announce the Shibud? Lamaisa, the Malva has a Shtar. If the Malva is holding on to the Shtar, he collects from the Shubadim. So why do I need the lover to make a declaration, a statement, that I'm being meshavid my nechos? Vanira the kavanas Rashi liyashev hoda chazina lahalon besugya the gam bechavit shu metaltalim. You still apply the principle of Abaye, right? The Gemara is going to try to prove the sheet of Abaye from the fact that you always have to get this down. Let's see. I'll try to get the mechanics, the mathematics here. Let's say if you hold like a bayil mafreya who so let's say the malv is a guy and the lov is Yisrael, so the Yisrael owns chametz and the malva collects from the chametz. The Yisrael defaults on the loan and the malva collects the chametz. So in such a case, the Mishnah says that the chametz is mutter, meaning it's not chametz avol of a pesach. Why? I mean, after all, the Yisrael owns this chametz. The answer is no. That since the Baal Chov is a goy, and I hold like a bayi that my friend go, therefore it's considered that the chametz from the get-go was owned by the goy, and the chametz of the goy is not also the chametz of a pesach. Should I say that again, or everybody got that? One more time, or you have? Yeah. Okay. Good. Oh, so now the question is, how does the Gemara apply the principle of Abaye l'mafreyu gove to chametz? Chametz is metaltalin. And what schus does the malva have to collect the metaltalin? Let's say if the lova goes bankrupt, and he has no karka, so then you as a fallback position, the malva could collect from metaltalin. So how did the malva gain a shibud on the metaltalin of the lova? I mean, his shibud by virtue of the shtar is only on karka. Lizlahachi, therefore, pirush Rashi the ma'iri b'shibud mefurash. Meaning, if I understand correctly, what the Rav is saying here, we'll see the Ramban in a minute. Is that although the automatic shibud is on karka, not on metaltalin, but there could be on the part of the lova an act which expands the shibud of the malva to include also metaltalin. When I say an act, I don't mean an act in the sense of writing a shtar. There's no shtar in metaltalin, but I mean a declaration. That declaration of the lova expands the scope of the shibud of the malva to include metaltalin as well. The pella here is what kinyan, how do you effectuate such a shiur? Midaraisa, let's say mina Torah mos konos, let's just work this out. So the very fact that the lova gives mos over to the malva, therefore the malva is kona, the metaltalin of the lova.
The malva gives money to the lova.
I'm sorry, the malva gives money to the lova. I said it the other way around. The malva delivers the money to the lova, and through that money it makes a kinyan on the metaltalin. And that's if you hold that doraisa, that dvar Torah mos konos.
The example that Rashi cites is that he puts the chametz in the Nachri's house.
Yeah, but we're asking a more general question.
Right. No, I got that.
Yeah. Why did Rashi feel compelled to tell us that the Lova made an explicit declaration, I'm being Meshabi Manechosim to you? So Rav Salvechi suggested, because we're talking about metaltalin, the automatic shibud for the Malva is only in Karaka, not metaltalin. There could be a separate shibud in which the Lova is Meshabi himself on Nechosim, on metaltalin, but that requires Mefurosh, that requires that the Lova make that statement. I was only trying to figure out, how does the malva acquire ownership over the metaltalin of the lova?
Because it's hanging out in this house. That's what Rashi keeps saying again and again. It's hanging out in this house.
Right, no, because Rashi keeps saying that because he wants to defend Rava. That there are situations in which even Rava agrees that Mafreya would go over. Mm-hmm. But we're focused now on Abaye.
Okay.
So what Rashi's doing consistently is trying to defend Rava. Because the Mishnah says that it's as if the guy owned the chometz from the get-go. And that's not true according to Rava, because Rava holds that Mikado Lahabu go over. The answer is because the Yisrael delivered the chometz into the possession of the Malva. And then we activate the principle of Balchov Gover Kona Mashka. Okay, we're not ready for all that, but what I'm just saying, I was just asking a footnote on the Rav Shia here, and I'm saying, what, by virtue of what kinyan does the malva make an acquisition over the metaltalin of the lova? In the case of karka, I understand very well. That's called shtar, right? Karka nicknames for shtar, but metaltalin is not nicknames for shtar. And not only that, the metaltalin not mentioned in the shtar. It's just a verbal statement on the part of the lova. How does that virtual statement? How does that that explicit statement of the lova create a kinyan of the malva on metaltalin? You know, I can't just make a statement and say this table is yours. That doesn't work. That's not worth a dime. You have to acquire it through some sort of kinyan. So I'm just thinking that maybe we're going according to the Maniyam who says minatora mos konos. Even though the Rabbana made a takana that you need a kinyan mashicha, a kinyan agbar, but on a doraisa level you can be kona. The very fact I pay you money.
The halva is kind of.
Correct, the halva, the matmos of the halva is the kinyan domim on the metaltalin. The only problem is that in the Rabbanan that's not so, but maybe it's enough on a doraisa level in order to avoid the isur chametz. Do you follow what I'm saying? No, since this chametz now on a doraisa level is owned by the guy, that's enough to remove bayir or bayir matzah. Even though on a drabbana level, in order to effectuate a kinyan of the guy and circumvent by Yom Matzi, he has to do a mashicha, which he didn't do. I don't know. But let's see the Ramban. V'hine Ramban v'mochamas omid moros omid tchilas dvar v'kosav v'ein ochinami v'salchid daitach v'ashas gavim v'taltun shayach shimud. Now, I don't know what he means. Does he mean because he was mafarish, or even without being mafarish? What does he mean? Lefum kein matzrich lon lemeimar de legabi metaltalin pligi nami abai verova da bai lemafreya hu gover. Aye, but he doesn't tell you by what mechanics. Sofar bira ban yosim alugzen aval metaltalin akarkos efshar shiyu shovim mipnei shedin torah mishneim balchov gover. I feel the milvav al peh. He's going with shibud d'oraisa here. Just one second. Avol ametaltal because efshi is shovim ibnei shedin Torah Interesting that he mentions Din Torah. I also mentioned Din Torah, but for a totally different reason. I mentioned Din Torah that he's that the Malv is Kona Metaltalin Midin Mos Konos. But he's using a Din Torah in a totally different way. And he's saying here, Abu Metaltalin Shovim, why Din Torah Shneim Al Chov Kova? I think he's operating with Shibuda Doraisa. See, all the distinctions between Karka Metaltalin, that's all based on what we call Kol. And that's all Drabbanim. You know, that the Shtar has a Kol, and therefore when he buys the Karka, we're worried about the Lekuchos, he'll know, based on this Kol, that there was a Shibud on the Karka, and that's when the Shtar generates the Kol. As far as the Shibud on Metaltalin is concerned, that's really a Doraisa. If you hold Shibuda Doraisa, and the Rabban is activating the principle of Shibuda Doraisa to justify why it is that according to Abayi Lemafreya who gova even from Metaltalin. So he's going back to the Doraisa. Oh, let's see, Bir Dvarav. The Sfilei Lerabban, the Lemani Omer. Oh, look at that. I'm not so far off. Lemani Omer, I didn't cheat. Lamani Yom Shibud Doraisa Chala Shibud Menatorah Gam Al Metaltalin. Okay, that's the last sugya in Masechta Bava Basra. So after you spend 10 years on Bava Basra, you get to the last sugya. I think Bava Basra is the largest sugya in Shat, the largest Masechta in Shat. He says V'Avshim and Rabbanan If Kiyuch Achor Mashibud. Yeah, because there's no call, right? There's no call. So, for example, if I lend money to you, I want to have betichus, right? I want to know that I'm secure. So how do you guarantee that I'll get my money back? And the answer is, here's my nechassim. Yeah, but that doesn't apply to metaltalin, because he'll never know anything about the metaltalin. You have a diamond ring, you know, you can just hide it in a vault somewhere. It's yeshlom v'zeh v'tarte anfi. Now the Rav wants to clarify hakira. Oh, the name of Kiyuch Achor Mashibud Ela Eitzal Lekuchos. Oh, Hayarshim Mishum Seida De Lekuchos. So again, in the first tzad, he's saying that Shibud Doraisa still applies, even after the Rabbanan made a distinction between Karka and Metaltalin. They did not completely undermine the Shibud Doraisa on Metaltalin. That remains even after the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan only saying that the Malvik does not have recourse to in event that the Lova defaults on, to collect from the Yorshim or the Lekuchos as far as Metaltalin is concerned. Odilmi Yeshlomar the Kavanoso the Kavan the Midoraisa Yeshibud Nechosim is Mimelinian Iser Bal Yerobay Motze as Lina and Bosa did Torah. So what are we saying here? That as far as Balyarov by Matzik, so let's go back to the Doraisa. And we're saying that on the Doraisa level, the Shibud would undermine or remove the Isur Balyarov by Matzik, because Balchov Lemafreya who gova koin tabaye is Mimela Iser by Yerob by Yematzi Toli Begidri Hashibu Midoraisa Vehu over Al Chavit Zeh Bebal Yerob by Yematzi.
Even though the Chacham and Mafkir the Bas.
Just one second, you're always one step ahead of me, Sam. I'm so sorry. Oh, Yeshlom the Kavanos the Cave of the Midoraisa Yeshibu the Chosim Mimela Yibus by Yerob the Lina Basa. So I don't think, I thought therefore there's no Bal Yerob by Yematzi. Mimela Iser by Yerob by Yematzi Toli the Gidre Ashibud Midaraisa. So how do you read the next line? What does it mean? Who over Al Chomik Zeb Bal Yerobay Motze? Maybe he's talking about the case where the Malv is a Jew. Maybe the Malv. Let's see if this works out. The Malv is the Jew, and the Lova is the guy. And Midaraisa, the Nechasim, even the Metaltalin of the Goy, are Meshubadim to the Yisrael. Correct? And why is that so? Because Shibud Doraisa. So how is that different from his first tzad? Aleph, he says, the name of the Lo Efkiu Chacham Ashibur El Eitz Al Kuchas Yorshim Mishum Pseidu L'Kuchos Avol B'bnei Chori Noeg Gamin Etaltlin Din Shibud Nechosim.
It's where the Jew borrowed from the guy. That's what you have to do.
That's what I said before. The Jew borrowed from the guy. But why does he say "Bahu over al chametz"?
In other words, the Jew borrowed from the guy.
Right.
No, the other way around. The guy borrowed from
Hashem. Okay, so that's what I tried to. That's what I tried to say.
I'm sorry.
Maybe the Rav never actually spells out which of the two scenarios we're talking about. I always assumed that the guy was the Malva and the Chometz belonged to the Yisrael.
Yeah,
but we have both cases in the Mishnah.
Right.
So the Rav here, I think, is talking about the other case, the Sefer of the Mishnah, where it's the Yisrael who lends money to the guy, and the guy has Chometz in his possession. So the Yisrael is now, as a Malva.
The Jew has Chometz sitting in the
Leave that out, Sam, okay. Where it's sitting. Okay. All we have to know for Abaye is that the Yisrael is going to collect the chametz, right? When is he collecting the chametz? After Pesach.
He's already indentured, right?
Oh, so now the question is, if you hold a mafreya goved, did this chametz belong to the Yisrael from the time of the loan, which means before Pesach?
Which
so the answer is that since Shibudu Doraisa, right? And therefore the Malva, in this case the Yisrael, has Shibudim on the Chosim of the Lovev, in this case the Goy, and we're holding like what? Like a Bayi that Mafreu Gov, and therefore the Yisrael violates by Rabbi Matzai. So even though the Rabbanan took that down, that Shibud, but nevertheless on a Doraisa level there's going to be a violation of Rabbi Matzai. But how is that different than the first side? Because I'm waiting for the Nafka Mina. Oh, the name of the law of Kiu Chacham Mashibud. Oh, I see. In the second side, he's telling you that the Shibud is gone, but that's only on a Drabona level, and from Bali Rabbi, once we go back to Doraisa. That's in the. excuse me.
It's all the same.
In the first side.
No.
No, I'm saying in the first side of this Chakir.
Right.
In the second side, he's saying no, that the Drabona would never. I'm sorry. Oh, now he's saying no. The Rabbanu would mafkia the shibud.
Only the gabi.
Right? The Rabbanu would mafkia the shibud, but that has no impact on Bal Yerov Bal Yimotze, because on a Bal Yerov Bal Yimotze level, the Yisrael who's the Malva, he has collection rights over the chametz, and we're going to apply Abaye. The first side in his chakira is that perhaps what the Rabbanu did was they recognize the shibud. Just a second. Oh, the name of the Loef. Right, they recognize the shibud, but they made a special takana on behalf of the lekuchos.
Right.
The second side, he's saying, no, the Rabbana removed the shibud, but it doesn't matter because we're dealing with Bayi Rabbi Matze, and on the Raisa level, that shibud is real and very much a lot. So I suppose he's going to now give us an afkemino. Let's see if he says. Totally b'shiva d'raisu over al bayu u'bemele gam iser hanah li achar pasim fine meidach b'makom shemei Torah hu mutter. How do you read this? U'bemeidach b'makom shemei Torah hu mutter.
Okay.
Hu eino oser b'hanah achar pesach. Just 1 second.
As far as the chumim is concerned.
We just get the facts on the ground. He wants to know about the Isra HaNoah, correct? So let's just see. Would there be an Isra HaNoah Lachar HaPesach? So let's just see. If we're going with the second side, that Bal Yerov Bal Yimotze is on a Derais level, and therefore we recognize the Shibud, therefore it should be also by HaNoah. But if we go like the first side, that the Rabbanon...
Meidach is referring to the ratio of the Mishnah.
I'm just trying to figure out where is the Avdan Afkavir between these two tzadim. Let's just see if we can work that out. If you go with the first tzad, that what? That the Shibud remains, that it should be also about no. So how would that help me in the second tzad? Then with the Raisa, there's a Shibud, and therefore he violates Bal Yerov. So that should also be enough to generate an Isra HaNa. I don't see why this would be an Afkamina. So he's saying he's not even talking about an Afkamina.
Me'idach means, in the first case, that if the Nachri has it and it's considered a Shibud Midaraisa, right? So then it's a Nachri and it's not Asr. So therefore it won't be Asr, even though the Rabbanan say there is no Shibud.
Alright, we'll stop here.